Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Every now and then, the boys will throw out a name and say, would you be interested? And boy, oh boy, am I interested in our next guest, because we're going to start right out of the gate. I am really jacked for this because there is a phenomenon that if you are not a diehard baseball fan, if you're not a sports fan, you might not be tracking with. But if you're a baseball fan, a sports fan, and you pay attention to sports on any level, you would be aware of this phenomenon known as the Savannah Bananas. But let me tell you that the true awareness comes from the 11-year-old down the hall who is going nuts. And by the way, I'm going to read verbatim the intro that our man Josh Soroka wrote, because it's so nice and I liked it.
Isn't it kind of like having Bruce Valanche on staff when he comes up with some fine writing like that?
Very, you know what? If for people that would remember Bruce Valanche, a great writer, perhaps you're right about that. Let me get right to it. It is truly a pleasure to welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show a remarkable guest, a coach, a mentor, a baseball innovator who's redefining the game with energy, heart, and an infectious passion as the head coach of the Savannah Bananas. And I will get to that. I have so many questions, because why is a coach not manager? But we'll find out. Yep. He's not only leading one of the most exciting teams in baseball, but also inspiring players and fans alike with his unique approach to the sport, I'll say. Whether it's through his legendary banana ball style or his commitment to building great athletes and even better people, he is someone who's making a huge impact both on and off the field. Please join us welcoming the one and only Tyler Gillum. Tyler!
Boom, baby.
Oh, man.
Fired up to be with you guys today, man. This is going to be something. We're going to get after it.
I love it. God, I wish I was talented as an athlete. That kind of talk gets me going. I have so many questions, and I know the Bananas. I've looked at the Bananas online. That's my breadth of knowledge of the Savannah Bananas. I have never had, the only other knowledge I have is trying to get tickets to, I think, did you come through Fort Myers last year or the year before? Because I have a memory of, did you come through last year or?
Fort Myers, Tampa. We were in Miami. We sold out Miami Marlins Stadium, but we haven't been to Fort Myers until this year. We're coming February 14th through 16th.
Whoa. When are you coming to Fort? Now, that was going to save that for last, but let me start there. When are you coming to my hometown?
February 14th through the 16th. We got three games. Red Sox Stadium there in the minor league complex is going to be
and
fun.
You're
coming to JetBlue. They're coming to JetBlue Park, ladies and gentlemen.
Those tickets are probably gone.
Yes. What? We have 3 million
those
people.
Those tickets are gone.
West, so it's so crazy right now. We've sold those tickets. We've got a K Club, which is our special group of fans. We've actually got about 30,000 people in that group.
Wow.
So wild right now. It's like, you know, I don't even know. If we get connected with Elon soon, we might be playing on Mars. We'll see.
Josh, we'll have you talk to Tyler after the show. Anyway, that's I'm not going to feather my own nest here. That's not the purpose of this interview. Yes.
I got banana tickets last year through a Facebook group. So we'll try to get you the same way.
Okay, because I have an 11-year-old that he's not expecting anything. He was just jacked. I sent Josh, Rob, you don't even know this. I sent Josh discussing. Can you behave, please?
Of course. I'm sorry, Tyler.
I sent Josh a picture of my son's reaction when I told him that we were going to have Tyler on the show. We'll get to everything. It is a phenomenon. It is and I was watching you in Fenway Park, where you sold out Fenway Park.
Yeah.
I mean, you sell out Fenway Park when the Yankees come to town. You don't. Let's start with the whole banana thing. All right, Savannah Bananas. I don't know whether to go with the rules or the inception of the team.
Try the inception. I think we need to know where it came from.
Yeah, all right. And then we'll get into the rules, because my son was lecturing me. I just dropped him off at school. He was lecturing me on the rules of the game. Oh, and of course, doing it at an 11-year-old, Dad, you're such an idiot, Dad, because he knew the rules. The inception of the Savannah Bananas and what they're all about, because it's not the way you expect baseball to be played. Take it away, Tyler.
Well, we always start with a fans first orientation in Banana Land. The guys did that last week since it's spring training, which we're now calling prime season. And we always talk about past, present, and future. So the foundation of where we started was our owners, Jesse and Emily Cole, have been in baseball for a long time. They ran CPL, college baseball teams for a long time. And what they figured out a long time ago was if they wanted to sell tickets, they had to do a little bit more than just play a baseball game. They had to entertain. Right. They had to do some things that were a little bit outside the box. And 2016, they moved to Savannah, Georgia. We are in Grayson Stadium right now. Grayson Stadium is almost 100 years old, and it held minor league baseball for 90 years, guys. Like,
that's Savannah, Tyler? Is that Savannah, Georgia?
Yeah, Savannah, Georgia.
I saw the Sand Fleas play there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sand Nats.
Forgive me.
And I played golf at the Landings in Savannah, and I can testify to the Nats. It is the – I've never seen anything like it on a golf course. But getting back to – they start – you're in Savannah now. That's your home base in the 100-year-old stadium. Take it away.
Jesse and Emily got an opportunity to come down here. The minor league affiliate that was here left and went to a different city, and this stadium set vacant, and they came in and said, hey, can we bring summer collegiate baseball to Savannah? And they brought it to Savannah, and they named the business Fans First Entertainment and vowed to do everything fans first and try to create the greatest show in sports, really be fans first and interact with the fans and stop doing all the things that fans hate and start doing all the things that fans love to really impact everybody, right? And so with that, what they ended up doing was they moved here, and on the first part of the website, it said, make baseball fun. And then they created the Savannah Bananas as the logo now. And as you guys know, the big important piece to this whole thing is you got to get people fired up. You got to get people going. But you also understand, being in a business, that there's a lot of critics out there. And I tell you what, Mike, the first time we ever said, hey, we're going to name ourselves the Savannah Bananas and put it up on Facebook, you should see all the Facebook comments. I go through it every once in a while, Mike.
Did you get hate?
Oh, my gosh. This team's never going to work. This is good fruit. Like, you name
the
it.
The purists that are like, oh, you're tainting the whole thing. Although the name is just, I mean, yeah, forget the fact from a marketing standpoint that the name rolls off the tongue. So you got a little blowback on that, a little backlash.
No doubt. And, you know, we've been doing things a little bit outside of the box for a long time. But the whole point was to bring everybody some excitement and be fans first in everything we did. And so here's what really got a lot of people excited. How do we think outside of the box, do things a little bit different? Well, we did all-you-can-eat food back in 2016. So you get a general admission ticket. You come to the ballpark. You get to sit anywhere you want. It's open seating. When you walk in the gate, you're going to go to the right, and there's going to be a line of people with hot dogs, hamburgers, popcorn, cookies, soda, water, chips. You're going to get your bag. You're going to go sit wherever you want, and you're going to be able to watch and get entertained a little bit different than your normal baseball
game. All right, now let me stop you there. This is for even when you go to a major league stadium.
No, this is only in Savannah.
In your home base, in mm-hmm. Savannah. Yep. Okay, go ahead. All right, I didn't mean to interrupt with that. All right, I get it.
Everything started here in Savannah, and we just trying to figure out how to impact people and do things a little bit different. And what we always talk about when we talk about fans first is do for one that you wish you could do for many. All right, let me say that again, guys. Do for one that you wish you could do for many. A lot of us have all these ideas of really impacting the world, and then we get overwhelmed of like, man, I don't know if I can reach that many people. And the goal is just do it for one fan. All right, every fan that walks through that gate, if all of us in our culture, in our organization, from game day staff to players to ticket team, if they can have a moment with one fan that creates a never forget moment, then that will snowball over time. And that's what we've done since 2016. Literally, Mike, you've never been able to buy a ticket at the Will Call window here in Savannah, because we've been sold out ever since, and it's all about people.
We're talking to Tyler Gillum. He is the coach of the Savannah Bananas, not the manager. Why the distinction, head coach and not the manager, Tyler? Tell me why that is, because I was curious. As a baseball old-fashioned person myself.
Yeah, great question, Mike. Yeah, I get asked this a lot, and everything matters. Language matters. And in Banana Land, we believe that people don't like to be managed. They like to be led. So we don't use the word manager in anything that we do, from front office to here. Like, we don't have a general manager. We don't have any managers. We have directors, we have coordinators, and we have head coaches. And so that's the piece of it. We definitely believe in the process. People like to be micro-led in order to be successful or take leadership positions. A lot of people don't like to be micromanaged, so it's all
okay.
Language.
I've got a bunch of – I want to get these all in because these are important to me, because I know we've only got you for about 20 minutes or so. I want to ask about – I love the concept, and in Savannah, you were talking about how you buy the general admission ticket, been sold out. Well, who wouldn't want to take the family out and see this? So you do your home games in Savannah. How many games now, and what does 2025 look like on the road? Because obviously this has exploded. There's demand for this team all over the United States. How has that changed, and how is that being balanced now, your schedule?
Yeah, this year we play in 17 Major League stadiums. We're going to play in 4 football stadiums. 3 of those are NFL stadiums. We've got a little over 2 million tickets available. We got 3 million people on the wait list, and then we'll play over 30 games in Savannah. So it's roughly around 110 games total for this season. It's going to be crazy. We're going to hit a bunch of new cities that we've never been to before. And obviously we're going to hit some new stadiums that we've never been to before, but the football stadiums is the wildest thing. And Tampa is going to be our first one, the Buccaneers Stadium, over 65,000. It's already sold out. We're going to put a baseball stadium, a baseball field in the middle of that football stadium and see if we can hit some tanks.
So great. Cool. All right. Cool. So the next question is, I think we now can get to the rules.
Yes.
When you go to a Bananas game, you're not going to the average baseball game you would see. Please to explain, and I think, is it called Banana Ball? Is it, please to explain, I love this, please to explain Banana Ball to people that might have no clue about the Savannah Bananas and the phenomenon that is your team.
We'll give you the history of it. The first time I ever jumped on with our owner, Jesse Cole, back in 2017, I got on a Zoom call with him, and he just started wearing his yellow tux every day. He wrote his first book called Find Your Yellow Tux, about standing out in the crowd. And we jumped on this Zoom call, and he told me on that original Zoom call, when I was interviewing for the head coaching job, he said, I want to create the greatest show in sports. And at that time, Banana Ball didn't exist, but we were trying to create an experience for fans, right? In 2018, I took that head coaching job. At the end of that summer, we ended up getting in a room down our left field line. We call it the ABR. And we came up with the original Banana Ball rules. And when we came up with those rules, we tried to be fans first in everything we did. So in my opinion, I think we created the greatest rule in sports, which is the fan catch out.
Without any doubt at all, this is the one my son and I talked about. Explain that to fans. This is so cool. For some, I think I went to my first baseball game when I was maybe 8 years old. It might have been a minor league game in Bristol, Connecticut, where I saw the Bristol Red Sox. This is so cool. Explain the fan out rule. I love this. Rob, you're going to love this. This is great.
Yeah, so everything we do is fans first. And we said, how do we get the fans involved in the game? And we said, if there's a foul ball hit into the stands and a fan catches it cleanly, then it's going to be an out in the game. We try to figure out how to celebrate as much as possible, right? So we bring fans down after they catch that ball. Like, literally, our dugout runs out of the dugout into the stands, grabs that person. If it's a little kid, they'll throw him over the shoulder, run him down, bring him onto the foul line. I'll go out with a mic, and I'll introduce the kid that caught the ball. So I'd be like, fans, introducing the fan that just caught the foul ball. Mike, you know,
and that's the whole game. That's the whole game. If a fan catches a foul ball, right?
Wow,
they will do that. That is spectacular. But go ahead, because I know there are other rules. But that's the biggie, right? That's the big rule.
Yeah, everybody loves that. I mean, I've never seen so many grown men show up with gloves on and dive for balls, like for real. And we just announced our Banana Ball Youth Tournament. Okay. It's going to be in July. Last year, we did our first tournament ever. We tested it in Cleveland, sold it out, 900 kids, 75 teams. But we had the fan catch rule out in the youth tournament. So, like, we had moms and dads out there, boys. Like, we had dudes diving on concrete trying to catch a 10-year-old ball. So, like, we're going to have to adjust those rules a little bit for the youth tournament.
Oh, that's awesome. That is, you know, and awesome.
That's what we want to do is have fun.
That's cool. That's cool. I love that. And as far as the and I want to get into the whole – I'm rapid fire. Sometimes I overwhelm myself because I have so many questions about this.
You're doing great.
Thank you. I'm excited. I really
I know.
Am.
I know you are. It's okay.
You know, when you're 65 years old, you surprise yourself when you get excited about anything.
Yeah.
The idea, when I look at this team, the first question that popped in, when they're trying out, when you're trying out to be a Savannah Banana, I would imagine you have to be a great athlete, but you also have to have a tremendous amount of rhythm because there is dancing. A lot of dancing involved and choreographed dancing as well. How does the whole thing happen when you're trying to get kids, young guys, baseball players, some of them with pro experience, on your team?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So we have tryouts all over the country. We recruit just like any other professional team does. I coached college baseball for 13 years and was a recruiting coordinator at one point. And so we're always reaching out, trying to find the most talented and entertaining players in the world. And right now we have 100 players in-house between four teams, and 20 of those guys have played affiliate baseball. They played minor league baseball at some point, and now they're jumped over and they're on the good side over here. They're playing banana ball and really trying to impact people as much as possible. But you would think a lot of these guys come in with great dance moves. Not necessarily. We throw them into the fire and they figure it out. We have a great director of entertainment named Zach Frangelo, who has this baseball theater background, and he does a lot of choreographing along with his entertainment team. And so there's a lot of teaching and learning that gets involved, and we figure it out as we go, baby.
Baseball, baseball first, the dancing second. Rob, you had a question.
Yeah.
You perked up when they said dancing.
Well, of course, Mike, you know of my years in tap. I know you can pretty much, you can teach dancing, you can teach singing, but being a great athlete is more inherent. I always felt that, and I'm sure you get the comparison all the time, the Harlem Globetrotters were probably better basketball players than your average NBA players because they had to do everything required and then a little more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that your players are in that same way? I mean, are these guys that are just like cut from an amazing bolt of cloth that they can play excellent ball and still entertain like that? You've got to be very proud of them.
Yeah, tremendously proud. We've got some hard-nosed guys that get after it every day, that practice their butt off. I mean, we've got D.R. Meadows, who was a JUCO guy, went D2. He's from small town, Vidalia, Georgia. He's country as it gets, and he is as humble and hardworking, and he's the one that did the first ever backflip catch in-game.
You haven't seen this for anybody that's played Little League. I mean, it defies imagine, but he does it. And he does it regularly, and it is one of the most amazing things to do. When you are, when you go out, you have obviously a lot of people that want to be on this team. Is it like major? It's professional baseball. Do you have contracts with these guys? Is there a hierarchy of players that you have? Do you have your superstars? You mentioned that particular player, but it seems to be really a collective more than anything else. How does it work?
Yeah, so when we're evaluating banana ball players, we have four main areas. Banana ball performance, which is actual like baseball play, plus banana ball play, which is trick plays and acrobatics. Then we got two, which is entertainment. We always entertain always. And then number three is going to be that social connection. And number four is going to be fans first, and that's our culture. We're fans first in everything we do. And so we evaluate in that scheme. Now, with those additions, we're trying to be the next best thing to Major League Baseball when it comes to contracts and the environment that we put these guys in, right? And so what we've done differently, again, a lot of us baseball players, I play baseball forever. Guys, I love baseball. I don't hate baseball because I coach banana ball, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we all are basically baseball dudes in this room trying to create something that's for everybody, not just a baseball traditionalist fan, but for everybody. And so a lot of times we ask the players, hey, you know, when you're playing independent ball or you're playing minor league baseball, what are things that you don't like? Well, some of it was like, man, I don't like getting a job in the off season. So right now our guys have 12-month contracts.
Okay.
They get paid today. Today's their first paycheck, January 15th. They'll get paid all the way through December 31st. They have full health care. And this is all four teams, guys. All four teams. 100 players. So 12.
And then when you say all four teams, these are the teams you play against, right, when you go into a ballpark, right? You bring in, Rob mentioned the Globetrotters. You bring in the version of the New Jersey Generals, the teams that play against you, correct? Is that how it works?
That's correct. And I just want to preface this by saying, though, our games aren't scripted, right? These guys are
right.
These guys want to win. It's not a happy sight when we do lose. Now, we go outside and do the party plaza, and we're signing autographs for thousands of fans. You find out real quick that, you know, you figure out what matters most, and it's about people. But when things don't go too well, these guys are as competitive as anybody else. And so we're trying to create the greatest sport where it's really competitive. That's why we're creating the Banana Ball League in 2026. We'll have six teams then. All right. But it's also entertaining. So it's a little bit of everything. It's social media. It's entertainment. It's really good baseball, which is now Banana Ball with trick plays. So we're trying to put all the pieces to the puzzle or all the different recipes of awesomeness to make the best soup.
And it's a work in progress. So when you bring – and I don't want to get too much in the weeds with the way it works, but you're talking about it's not scripted. It's that you go in and you have a particular team and you're going to have multiple teams. Will they all be – kind of playing like the originals do in the league? Will it be a league-wide, like you might see two other teams that are not the Bananas, and will they be playing the same kind of baseball?
Yeah, we have four teams. So Bananas is the first team. We created the Party Animals in 2020 during COVID. Balloons, boys.
Nicely done for the party crew. Yeah,
Rob, can you give him a one of
oh
these?
Yeah, we can do fireworks. I think hold on. There you go.
It's not working on yours. I don't know why.
Never does.
All right, so you have the Party Animals.
Party Animals is the second team. The third team is the Firefighters, and the fourth team is the Texas Tailgaters. That is our brand new team. They're going to be the best pregame in sports. We're going to have an actual band of players that play on the field and actually play in the band. We're going to grill out before. It's going to be in a party the entire day. That is going to be four teams. We've got two more coming in 2026, and we'll start the Banana Ball League in 2026.
All right, so when I watch the Savannah Bananas, and then now I have to bring Mrs. O'Mara into the equation here because there is how do I put this delicately? There is definitely a heartthrob quality to these young men. There's a look, and I know the
some
ladies.
Some of them really
like this.
Fine, Mike.
Some of them really fine.
Really fine.
You know that. Yes, it's for the whole family, but boy, you know the ladies have to kind of love this show when they go there. That's certainly not by accident.
No doubt, and what we tried to create it is the greatest show in sports. And that means it's going to be something for everybody. So it doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're six or you're 66, there's something for you. And when I knew this thing was going to work, when we were testing it back in 2020 and 2021, there's two things that I heard. The first one, Mike, was I would have husbands come out after the game when we were doing Party Plaza and signing autographs. And they would say, hey, you know, my wife's not a huge baseball fan, but man, she loves banana ball games.
Yep.
I was like, okay. And I was like, tell me more, you know? And he's like, well, you know, I'm watching the real baseball on the field. Guys are throwing hard. There's trick plays. There was an awesome relay throw to get somebody out at the plate.
Right.
But my wife, she's watching the dancing first base coach or Vince the dancing umpire or maybe the guy on stilts, you know. She's got some other different pieces. And so that's when I knew this thing was going to work, because it doesn't matter really who the individual is. There's dancing. The music never stops. There's great baseball play. And you put all those things together, and then you have something for everybody in the family.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
He speaks the truth, Mike, because I looked at the lineup of all the teams, and not one person resembles Don Zimmer. Not one.
I love it when you referenced a baseball reference like Don Zimmer when you have this.
Hang on.
Go ahead.
Mike, Rob, we do. We have the Mananas. The Mananas is our dad bod dancing squad.
Oh, no.
You guys might be able to join, come to the game. We might get filled for the audition. Rad bod is a former wrestler. He's not a small human, and he's got some dance moves. So come to the game in Fort Myers.
Oh, I will be there. I think this is so exciting. And my son, who's a ball player, Tyler, we're going out this afternoon down here in Fort Myers to get him ready. He tries out for spring ball on Saturday as the coach of the Mananas and also a manager in the college ranks for as long as you were. Any advice getting him ready? Because I've managed a little bit, but I don't know. How do I get him ready for the big season coming up?
Yeah, so I've got a motto called bet on yourself, and I've been chasing that motto for a long time. And, you know, I've been trying to get an environment and dogpile and develop for a long time. Those are my two D's, develop and dogpile, development and dogpile at the end. And my journey is all about betting on yourself, and that's what the Bananas are all about too. We've been betting on ourselves when there's a lot of people, naysayers around that, you know, critics saying, that's not going to work. You got to bet on yourself. You got to believe before anybody else does. And what we do with the Bananas is have fun. And so if you have fun, you're going to play your best. And so bet on yourself and have fun.
I think it's great. I think this is a true phenomenon. I cannot wait till you come down here to Fort Myers, and they're going to be all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. Josh, am I leaving anything out? Am I leaving anything on the field, as it were, for Tyler before we let him go?
Joke. Well, I'd say the fan first thing, that's what has brought in every 10, 11 year old. And there's nothing cooler for a little kid than going to a ball game and collecting a autograph at one of the minor league games or
Absolutely.
Something. Real hard to do in the majors. When I took Owen to the Bananas last year in Jacksonville, this is the autographs he came back with after getting a hat.
The
hat was completely full. He saw every player he got on the Bananas and the Party Animals. It's all about the kids.
And it's good for the game. It's good for the baseball.
Amazing for the game. I'll give you one warning as a little league coach. The week after the Bananas were in town, that practice was useless because the kids were all trying trick plays.
I can imagine.
And it's a bunch
they're
of 10
all doing that, you
exactly.
know, when they're out there. That's
it's 10-year-olds who can't play the game trying to dance and play the game.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I think it's great. It's got to be fun. I mean, do we need joy? I mean, this is a joy factory. And
I think this
is so good for our times right now. It's good. Tyler, I hope I get a chance to shake your hand and meet you when you come down to Fort Myers, because really, you're an amazing spokesperson for the league that's coming up and for the Bananas. I wish you guys nothing but the best of success. It's a phenomenon. And I'm so excited that we got a chance to talk to you, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
Let me get you guys down. Mike, Rob, Josh, thank you guys so much for your time, and keep betting on yourself. Keep making an impact, boys.
There you go. That's a baseball guy right there, ladies and gentlemen. That's Tyler Gillum. That's a great pull, Josh. That was so much fun to talk to him, and I really look forward to it. And don't we need something like that nowadays? I mean, we really do.
The last time I bet on myself, I got handed a card that said gambling problem.
There you go. Bada bing, bada boom. I'm glad you didn't say that in front of Tyler.
No, positive guy, fun guy, and a guy that just gets it. Do you think...
It's seriously like going to a Chippendales show for my wife, though. When
oh,
you
God.
Go. I mean, you've got all of these guys. They are, you know, and I know they have the dad bod guys, too.
No,
you know,
then they've got the granny nannies or something, too.
The granny nannies?
Yeah, there's some type of banana
I'm there.
Farm.
Are there any... I'm
but I'll tell you,
you know, I'm not. I don't want to do this. Are there any women that are like? If my
in
wife's
the
sitting in, what's that?
In the stands.
In the stands.
They have what surprised me is that they have people with season passes that follow them to all the stadiums.
That's amazing.
And they all look like Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Well, they're all wearing. They're all dressed up, and they have the friendship bracelets to give the guys at every stop.
Josh, yeah. Will you please? I never ask you for personal favors.
We'll figure it out.
Will you figure it out for me, please?
Yeah.
And just two, well, maybe three, if Mrs. O'Mara wants to go.
Oh, well, I might make the drive down for that.
Okay, but drive down. We'll all go to the game together. That's exciting.
Do you think that they, I mean, they have really just the amount of influence and excitement they've caused over a very short amount of time. If you consider the length of baseball as an existing sport, they have really come to shine in the past few years. Do you think their mode of play could ever influence the rules of Major League Baseball?
Oh, 100%.
It already has.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know the clock, right?
How has it already influenced the rules?
Baseball purists all got mad, but Rob Manfred this offseason brought up the idea of the golden batter. And I think we discussed this here.
Yeah, okay. We didn't get a chance to ask Tyler about it. Can you explain the golden batter?
Yeah, that came out of banana ball. That's a banana ball rule where at any point in the game, you can just take your best player and say, all right, he's going to be batting now.
Oh, I remember that. Out of order. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And as far as I think, the purists would get mad about it, but the idea of a fan making a catch.
Oh, that takes me back to Chuck Thompson and Memorial Stadium and the give that fan a contract.
Give that fan a contract, yeah, which they used to say all the time. And that would be, can you imagine everybody coming in to a stadium with gloves, getting ready to make a catch? I mean, I think
I do, but I wear opera gloves.
Right. Fingerless gloves.
All the way up to the shoulder, Rob.
Hi.
This is really selling out Minute Maid Park. Selling out Fenway. I mean, Fenway's
and football
a small ballpark,
stadiums, which are even
football
bigger.
Stadiums.
Yeah,
nuts with that. And
this
and
season,
their ball players.
They should go to East Rutherford and actually play the Giants.
I think they could win.
Josh
loves baseball. I love baseball. I still think it's a great sport, and when it comes down to the wire and the playoffs, and you've got a team in the hunt, you can see. I've seen some of my greatest sports spectator moments have been in baseball games, but
yeah,
you can also make the case that it needs a little spark, and this comes at a time when it's very needed, and it promotes the game of baseball because at the core, as you heard Tyler say, these guys are athletes, and it's funny because they dance like athletes. They dance well, but they do dance. You know what I mean?
They do dance like
jocks do, which is hysterically funny. There's that that teens through the late 20s dance step that looks just awkward enough where it's like, look what I'm doing. But what doesn't look awkward is when you see a guy catch a legitimate fly ball behind his back or with a backflip and do this. And I'm just scratching the surface for that. You've been to a Bananas game. Do you have a favorite part of banana ball, Josh, that you would talk about?
The best part is how involved the kids are. As a baseball purist, I feel like there's so much going on that it's sometimes hard to focus on the baseball game.
Right.
That has trouble with me. I will say I have a I played softball with a guy a couple years that's now on the party animals.
Oh,
and
really?
He was the best ball player I've played with. And then I saw him progress and build up his TikTok following so that he could then, that's part of your interview process, is you have to grow this TikTok and social media and show that you can do this fan interaction stuff.
It's a big business. I love that they're training right now with spring training in Savannah. And it's a great city to do it in. It is a party. Next to New Orleans, it's the biggest party city in the United States.
Agreed.
It's a great, and it's one of my favorite cities. But I'll tell you something. When you name your minor league ball club the Nats, the Sand Nats or the...
Yeah, not the Sand Fleas. I got that wrong.
I took a long, long time to figure out where I was going to have my place. I ended up down here in Fort Myers, but Savannah was on the map. And went out one day, played golf. I think it was March. And I couldn't believe it. It's just like...
Eaten alive?
Like I've never been on any kind of golf experience in my life. But they've done it, and I've never been to that ballpark. But did you ever?
Yeah.
When you went to see Katie a couple of times, were they a thing?
No, they weren't yet. The last time I was down there, that was still the Sand Gnats that was playing in that park. But we went to a game there, and it's a great park. I, you know, thinking during that interview, I've been to quite a few minor league parks.
Right.
I've been to
you've been to Richmond. Yeah.
I've been to Richmond, Frederick. I went with you down to JetBlue, I guess, is sort of hard to call a minor league park, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And what is amazing about the minor league ball is that they try so hard as a breed of baseball to entertain the fans between the innings. There's always something going on.
Yeah.
This seems to me to be the next step. It's just to incorporate it into the game.
And I also think that, you know, this does not just apply to baseball. This is sports in general, where you're out there, you're paying a fortune for your concessions. You're paying a lot for your tickets, and because a lot of tickets are hard to come by. I think they need to up the game. The bells and the whistles and the fun. It's a, you know, these are children's games. They start playing when they're children. That's the way it ought to be. The fun ought to be in there. I don't mind. Look, in the NFL, in baseball, in hockey, in basketball, the experience, you know, up the ante a little bit. And it ultimately, you know, the kids matter. So congratulations.
We've come a long way, Mike. We've come a long way from since Prince Willie.
Yes, Prince Willie, the mascot of the Prince William Cannons. Is that who it was?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, but actually I had them there one time. But anyway, we'll take
and that
a
was the extra at that park.
That was the boy, was that exciting. We'll take a break, come back with the round table, and later on I'll decide whether or not I'm going to share something gross and embarrassing. As you set resolutions for 2025, consider how learning a new language can enrich your life, whether through travel, career advancement, or cultural appreciation. Learning a new language can help you connect with others and explore new cultures. Here's a great idea. Learn a language as a fulfilling New Year's resolution. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users. They offer 25 languages like Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. Plus, Rosetta Stone has no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. Rosetta Stone is also an amazing value. This is a lifetime membership. You can keep learning from now until forever. Start the new year off with a resolution you can reach. Today, Mike O'Mara Show listeners can take advantage of this New Year's special of Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today and do it right now. People are busy. And between work and home and everyday tasks, who has the time to stress about website security? What you need is Kinsta. Kinsta takes care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta provides managed hosting for WordPress, offering lightning-fast load times, top-tier security, and unmatched human-only customer support. No matter what your business is, Kinsta makes managing your website easy and efficient, so you can spend your time on what matters most. Kinsta also gives you complete peace of mind by ensuring that your WordPress sites are always online, secure, and performing at their best. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from any other hosting provider, so you won't experience any downtime. So, big guy, are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
You know you will.
Thank you. We I might not. If you love a little glass of something in the evening but hate waking up with that awful cloudy head, I got just the thing. I'm talking about Souls Out of Office. Did she bring him in here? No, I don't see him. Let's see. Microdose THC gummies. Did you know that you can buy hemp-derived THC products legally anywhere in the U.S.? You can through our partner, Soul, S-O-U-L. Soul's new out-of-office gummies are perfectly microdosed with hemp-derived THC and CBD to give any day that chilling on-the-beach vibe. Out-of-office gummies give you that warm, fuzzy, euphoric, microdosed feeling without sending you to the moon, Alice. You can go for a jog, watch your favorite TV show, or head I was almost going to make a joke where I said you can go for a jog, just not on the wrong side of the street. You don't want to do that. No, I'm kidding, of course. Watch your favorite TV show.
I love that show.
Or head out to a party. Whatever. They taste amazing. That's
they
true.
Do.
And their effect is wondrous. Be like Rob. Subscribe to them. It's a great way to kick off 2025. Use them for sleep or you use them for just knocking around the house?
It depends. You know what? It's if you really you're a little keyed up and you want to go to bed early, they're great. I get the blood orange. And they are amazing. And every month, a new bottle comes to me, and it's like, hello, hello. It's
yeah, nice. I'm almost every day used hello. Now.
Soul's products are grown right here in the USA, organically farmed and gluten-free. Start 2025 with Soul. Head to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using TMOS, Sword. That code, one last time. GetSoul.com and the code TMOS for 30% off, everybody. News.
There it is. Note banana yourself. News. Mike, don't. I want you to do stunts, and we're going to call it banana news. That's a woohoo dad bod.
Every day is a stunt for me. That's the way this show goes, you know. Every day. I hate starting with the fire, but I have to really tell you that this is Beyonce now donating $2.5 million for LA fire relief. She created it by her own charitable foundation, Bay Good. The money will aid families that lost their homes and the
hold
churches.
Hold it. Is it B-E-Y good?
B-E-Y good. Yeah.
So it's like be good, but it's Bay Good.
Bay Good. Sure.
Yeah.
That's
hey,
you
nice.
Know what? It's $2.5 million for fire relief. I'm okay,
okay
with that.
All right.
More celebrities doing their part. Metallica's All Within My Hands Foundation donating $500,000. Jimmy Kimmel opened a donation center on the back lot of his show, which returned to the airwaves last night. Remember the rapper The Game?
Yes,
I think
of course.
A lot of people. He's helping reunite survivors with lost pets. Doja Cat designed some new merch for the Red Cross to raise money. Jane Seymour, she's still kicking around.
Fuzzy face.
She is housing her Dr. Quinn co-star, Joe Landoa, and his family. They lost their home. David Spade is offering $5,000 to anyone who helps catch people lighting fires. The whole arson angle of this, we haven't really been in the weeds on that one. But the Grammys are still on, by the way, on February 2 from LA's Crypto.com Arena. The show will help raise money for the relief effort as well. The announcement of the Oscar nominees has been pushed back again. It's now scheduled to happen on Thursday, the 23rd. But the show itself is on, still on for March 2nd. And still the devastation continues. On that, Tom Brady is doing his part for Tom Brady. He has reportedly hired private security to protect his $20 million L.A. mansion from looters. Well, that's
good,
nice, Tom.
Good for him. Good for him. And that way his teeth will be safe.
The FBI paid a visit to Ben Affleck's Brentwood home, but he's not in any trouble. It had something to do with their investigation into the drone that collided. We mentioned that to you yesterday with a firefighting airplane. And
was
the
it
major,
Matt Damon?
flying the drone.
The amazing thing, Matt Damon is in the drone. He's not a very tall guy.
The major studios are kicking in tens of millions of dollars for the relief effort. And like any area, I've been through it with the disaster. You don't have a choice. You live out there. You work out there.
Yeah.
You pull yourself up and you go again. Now, are there people that say, enough, I can't live here anymore? Yes, that happens too. But you really pull together. And when you make the determination, this is my home, you stick together and get it done. And anything people can do to help will be appreciated.
You mentioned Jimmy Kimmel. Did you hear any of his monologue from last night, their first show back?
No.
He was very emotional, and I think it's very sweet. And also, he's got a really good sort of attitude about the whole thing.
We are back at our studio, which we had to evacuate on Wednesday. Many
he
of us
emotional.
Had to leave our homes in a hurry. Some
is
of
this
our
video?
Coworkers lost
no.
their homes.
No. Audio.
I think I speak for all of us when I say it has been sickening, shocking, awful experience, but has also been, in a lot of ways, a beautiful experience because once again, we see our fellow men and women coming together to support each other. People who lost their own homes were out volunteering in parking lots, helping others who lost theirs. And tonight, our firefighters from L.A. were the first on the scene. Without hesitation, they were out there putting out the fires as best they could. And to our police, our National Guard, our rescue workers, the doctors, the nurses, EMTs, the pilots working 12-hour shifts, thank God for all of you. And if you want to thank...
It's just amazing that he can be that real and that friendly and that genuine, and then you turn over to Fallon and it's just not that.
No, it's not.
I love him. I think he's so, think Kimmel such
does
a good guy.
A really, really nice job. Carrie Underwood will perform at President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration at the U.S. Capitol on Monday. And I'm going to say this, and my whole attitude about where we are as a country is I'm not going to be lured into the BS anymore. I'm not. I have enough angst about serious issues where when you're talking about the backlash for Carrie Underwood, there's backlash on both sides.
Yeah.
Whoever performs, that's the way this goes. She's going to sing America the Beautiful with the Armed Forces Chorus and the United States Naval Academy Glee Club. Shut the F up. I'm serious about that. Now, I really feel played. I almost feel like they want me, as a Democrat, as a left-wing person, to overreact. Oh, I'm going to boycott Carrie Underwood. I'm so tired of this garbage that's irrelevant. And both teams throw darts, a small number of people, at the people that perform at Democratic inaugurations and also at Republican inaugurations. I just think it's pinnacle, this crap. You know?
And the pinnacle was last week with Trump and Barack talking to each other.
They
and
tried. Both sides getting angry, I think we were manipulated that way.
To each other.
I think we were manipulated to get. Oh my God, what's going on? It's just that. I don't care if I piss people off. I was fine with that.
Yeah.
What I'm not fine with is not showing up for the inauguration. And yes, I know that he didn't do that. And that's BS. And it should be called out when that happened. But because of that, don't do what they did. And it's stupid. It's just boycott Carrie Underwood because no, Carrie Underwood might have different beliefs or who knows. But she was asked to do it and she said yes. I feel manipulated when this happens.
Yeah, and I think
this kind of stuff.
I think it's consistent and it keeps going on. But when I see that she has done that, I don't think that she is being manipulative with her whatever beliefs are. I think she's been chosen to take the big.
No, I'm saying the people are manipulated to backlash.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that she has accepted the job to sing to honor our nation on the biggest stage on earth.
And it is for the Trump inauguration, and I'm not going to – and by the way
– But it's not. It's not about a person. It's a historical presidential inauguration.
It's an event.
There's not that many of them.
And I think when you don't bitch about that and you let it happen, that's the right thing to do as an American for me.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's the right thing to say, well, she's a talented person. And I've been a huge fan. I love she sings How Great Thou Art, one of the great spiritual songs. And I'm not a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. But I love the way she sings it. At the same time, I'm not going to go, oh, because she's singing a Christian song, I'm going to go, meh.
Yeah.
My point is this, that I like Carrie Underwood. I'm not going to stop liking Carrie Underwood. And for those haters out there that might think I'm not doling out enough hate, I'm also going to not share the hack BS crap performers that will be in and around because I think we've seen plenty of Kid Rock and Lee Greenwood.
Mike, I know that you have your feelings about Lee Greenwood. They go all the way back to
Village
American
People.
University. That was what I was going to say.
That's
the
just
Village
garbage.
People.
Yeah, I mean,
the
really.
Village People are happy just to have a gig. They don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably not going to look in on the festivities, but I used to. You know,
you won't watch the swearing in?
I don't think so. I'm conflicted on that, but I'm also not spewing it out that everybody should be like me. Mm-hmm. I wish I felt different. I'm conflicted, as many people are, about Donald Trump and past behavior.
Yeah.
I am. But I'm not going to sit there and go, I'm going to boycott Carrie Underwood because she's saying. I think that's the kind of stuff that, and I really do believe this, both sides, right-wing media, mainstream media, they all try to sell their tickets by ramping us all up and having people get all upset. I don't want to see people fall into it. That's all I wanted to say on that particular issue.
Mike, if you are tempted to watch the actual swearing in and you are not into the mainstream media, do what I do. I watch it from Ben Affleck's drone.
There you go. Until it hit the plane.
Yeah, that wrecked plans a lot.
Let me ask you this question, Rob. How many Gen Zers does it take to change a light bulb?
I would say 4, 1 to do it and 3 to complain about it.
Bada bing. Well, it sounds like a joke, but it's a legit question. In a new survey, 1 in 5 people, I'm not sure if they give me any details in this survey, but 1 in 5 people between ages 18 to 27, those are Gen Zers, they claim they couldn't change a light bulb.
Well, hear that's stupid.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
They just don't. Because they don't have, used to it.
And their bulbs are all LED that lasts a lot longer now.
Right. Do you know what doesn't last long?
What?
A heat lamp bulb for a ball python. I'm on my 5th. I've got to figure something out.
Well, Mike, it's incandescent because otherwise it wouldn't throw off the heat. You need the heat.
Yeah,
how about a small campfire? Don't they
just
make
a fire
little,
and keep it stoked all night long?
They make little solo stoves, little guys.
Let's see. Is this another sign of the times now that screwable light bulbs bulbs are being phased out for LED lamps that last 10 to 20 years? Maybe. Or are they just lazy? Well, this article says it's probably laziness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The report found that Gen Zers are spending more than $1,500 a year on average calling in pros to do basic jobs they could probably do themselves. That's 5 times what boomers spend on stuff like that. It isn't just changing light bulbs. The survey also found a lot of Gen Zers don't know how to do basic car maintenance, even cleaning it, or hanging picture frames. And some didn't recognize common tools like a wrench.
What is that?
I don't know. Softies.
Mike, not only can I change a light bulb, I can change tulip bulbs.
I can change a tire. I can change oil. I can do all of it. And I've got a bitchin' set of tools.
Yeah, well, what's that thing that you put around the nut? I don't know what that is.
And I have, by the way, I have, I think, a collection of Allen wrenches that is the greatest in the entire free world. All right, let me see.
You've never where would thrown civiliz- one away.
Where would civilization, as the Canadians would say, where would civilization be without a good BuzzFeed list?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is a shocking list for celebrities. And I only put it out there for number one. So let me start. Do I have 9 here? Mick Jagger has a son who is younger than his great-grandchild by 2 years.
That I can't even wrap my head around.
Jack Black's mother was an engineer named Judith Love Cohen, who helped create the system that rescued the Apollo 13 crew. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Jack Nicholson was raised by his grandmother, but he was told that she was his mother, and he was told that his actual mother was his sister.
Yeah. It's weird that that would happen and he would turn out so normal.
He didn't find out the truth until his mother / sister died in 1974. I don't mess with your head. Yeah. Let's see. Samuel L. Jackson was kicked out of Morehouse College for participating in a protest in which members of the school board were held hostage.
Wow.
That, you know, if you're going to have one celebrity do that, you know. The path of the righteous man.
You with the Kangol hat. You're going to have to leave.
Wow. I didn't know Sam Jackson was that old. One of these hostages was Martin Luther King Sr. Wow.
God, not even Jr.
Who knows? Number 5, when Angelina Jolie was 22, she hired a hitman to kill herself.
It didn't work.
Good. It didn't.
But he talked her out of it.
He might still be on the prowl.
This happens to me the older I get, more and more. Leighton Meester. Does anybody know Leighton Meester?
Actress, I think. Let me double check.
Was born while her mom was serving time for smuggling 1,200 pounds of weed out of Jamaica.
Oh, that's so a lot of weed.
You find Leighton Meester. Terrence Howard is convinced that 1 times 1 equals 2, and he claims he can prove it. Also, when he was a kid, he watched his dad stab a man to death while they were waiting in line to take pictures with a department store Santa. That's a horrible story.
That's like a Batman story.
Yeah. It probably wasn't
Macy's.
It's
like a Bruce Wayne start.
Wow. Yeah. Do you put your hand up? Do you have Leighton Meester?
Yeah, she was on Gossip Girl, and she was a regular on House, and she's married to Adam Brody, who you would know if you saw.
All right, pop star and the worst terrorist of all time. Osama bin Laden was a huge fan of this female singing artist. Would you like to guess?
Yeah, Sophie Tucker.
No, something 1980 or 90 or 2000.
Okay, Gloria Estefan.
Whitney Houston.
Oh, she's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It says here he was a huge fan of Whitney and even had a plan to kill her then husband, Bobby Brown.
Wow.
I have no idea where that's true.
We saw them in an airport, Mike.
And number one, ladies and gentlemen, I hold in my hand the number one item on the list.
Number one.
Dennis Rodman has broken his penis while having sex on 3 different occasions. Mm-hmm. 3 times.
He's doing it wrong.
3 times.
Wouldn't you think that after the second time he'd be more careful?
Yep. And that even supersedes the final story. I'm not even going to do it. We can go to break because the final story is just a guy that tried to have sex with a horse. And I thought Dennis
Did anything break?
Nothing broke, but he did try to put his in the horse's nostril. I don't think we need any more detail than that, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. That's all I have for you. Are you ready for a little do you want to do the swearing survey or do you want to do the Spiewak kitchen horror?
I think we need to do the horror and we'll do
horror
it after this.
Coming up. Yes, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. The horror. You've heard it on the show. I'm talking about this. That was a half-hearted blow.
Well, Mike, you know, we did it once last week. Do you want to play along to Tijuana Taxi with your loud cup?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Herb Alpert. Here's your big one coming up.
Damn it. I never get it right. Always like to me to screw that up. That is so difficult.
No,
try
I don't
it one more time.
You. I don't
one
want
more
you
time.
To screw.
Just play.
You said I want you to screw up. Far from it, man.
See if I get it right.
This is a great show.
Cue me, Rob.
I will. Very close.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you can have your very own Loud Cup, ladies and gentlemen, the official TMOS Loud Cup. It's the loudest drinkware in town. It's a 20-ounce insulated cup that comes in 3 colors. And the best part, it is proudly emblazoned with the TMOS logo. It's only $29.99, available for order right now at MichaelMaraShow.com. Just click the store. It's perfect for the playoffs.
Playoffs?
It's so easy. Another crappy game last night.
Yes.
Fun to use. Fill the loud cup with your favorite drink anytime you want. And then turn the cup around and activate the horn.
Horn activate. Horn activate.
Yeah,
that was excellent.
There you go. How about that? Anyway,
wow. You almost Dennis Rodman to that.
The harder you blow, the louder the horn will be, and the higher pitched, as I just proved. Blow hard, real hard. Loud cups, huh? I think you're just taking a sip. You can fake it. Go to a sporting event and then fake it.
Yes.
Fake it real good.
Fake it so good.
Double wall insulated design fits in a standard cup holder, plus the snap fit lid keeps your drink safe. Safe, so it's not in danger. It's the TMOS Loud Cup. Buy it now at the store at MikeOMaraShow.com and get loud. Get
First
loud.
Orders are shipping this week.
Oh, that's
Speaking
awesome.
Speaking of items we're selling on the store.
Have them soon.
Amy Tinker and Dennis Murphy, thank you for purchasing your campfire mug.
No licks today?
When you're getting your loud cup, nobody asked. When you're getting your
There you go. I love it. That's like, you know, not using a coupon. You have a free lick.
Coupon! Coupon! Anyway, so thanks for all the wonderful stuff on the store that you buy. We appreciate that. And Spiewak Kitchen Horror. Now, normally when Rob brings something like this, 80% of the time it's really not horrible. It's just something that bothers you because nothing horrible happens in your world.
Well, Mike, this is horrible. And it's not just my world. It's the whole world. I have a favorite cookbook. Hold your applause. It's called The Joy of Cooking. And there it is. Well, it's on Sideways, but that's the book. I have four different editions of it because they update it. And
That's nice, Susie. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Why is it upside down?
That's how he sent me the photo.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, Mike, I like to consult The Joy of Cooking, not so much for recipes, but for background. It's a very intelligently written cookbook about how to prepare something.
Isn't that where they have the pictures, the illustrations of people having sex?
No, that's Almost. The Joy of Sex.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm
sorry. By David Comfort? Was that his name?
David Comfort.
I think it was. Yes. So I was looking through it, and I said, you know what? My grandmother used to make custard, like a baked custard. And I said, I bet it's in her. This was her edition of the cookbook. So I went through to look for it, but I happened on a different section. And keep in mind, this book has been updated four times since then. So this is the 1964 edition, which is not that long ago. And there is a chapter on game.
And like wild game?
Mike,
and by not that long ago, you mean 60 years.
Well, yeah, but I mean people, this is not like people are on the prairies trying to conquer California. This is still, you know, the modern era.
Well, this is a Mad Men era, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. So, Mike, it talks about how to skin a rabbit, and it actually shows a photo where you hang the rabbit and you by the feet and you pull the skin down. Now, that's not disgusting enough, but there's
actually a photo. Yeah, but I've seen that on the internet. I've seen the rabbit lady that does that where you dispatch a rabbit and then you skin it.
Have you seen them dispatch? There you go. There it is. That's the happy cartoon of them pulling the skin off the rabbit.
Wow.
Now, Mike, it's different for a squirrel because for a squirrel, you have to step on the skin and pull up.
You mean you have to step on the skin and then pull the squirrel out of its skin?
Yeah, by the feet. And I believe we have another picture of that. And again, I'm more troubled by the fact
that's another upside down picture.
No, it's just sideways. Yeah. I don't like the fact that they're
out the squirrel's head.
They're cartoony. It looks like it's the family circus. They're hand drawn and they're pulling
I wish it wasn't sideways because I'm trying to see. Oh. So he's stepping on the squirrel's tail.
Right, and then pulling up the bones, and so that's how you de-skin. Right. So I was
reading.
So
there's the body without the fur,
yeah,
or skin.
So this is really for people that have their own, go out and hunt their own meal.
Did you know, Mike, that if the rabbit is very young, you should serve it with elderberry preserves?
Like a baby rabbit?
Yeah, I think so. So I've been reading some of the other recipes. Mike,
rabbit.
Gray squirrels are the only good squirrels to eat. Red squirrels are small and quite gamey in flavor.
You know what we have down here?
What?
And I never saw them until I came to Happy Valley. Yeah. Fox squirrels. Have you ever heard
of
those?
What are they?
Josh, if you can find a picture of a fox squirrel. They are larger than gray squirrels. They are interestingly colored, where they have kind of a reddish fur with a dark colored fur too, and they are big and
they sound pretty.
All over. They're cool looking. They look like they're very large too. You can see them in a lot of different places.
Mike, I just want to read you a couple other cooking tips while I'm in my old edition of Joy of Cooking.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to roast your squirrel, treat it like a pigeon, and then it refers you to the roast pigeon recipe.
Have you ever eaten squirrel?
Yes, I have.
And?
It tastes like gamey chicken. It's not great. It's not
great. Not a fan of that. Okay.
I'll tell you one thing I've never eaten, Mike, is an opossum, or as some people call them, possum.
Possum. Jed Clampett ate possum.
Now, Mike, here is the recipe that I found perhaps the most disturbing. Opossum. If possible, trap the possum and feed it on milk and cereals for 10 days before killing it.
Oh, so you're getting the gaminess out of it. That's nasty. That is horror.
Keeping the possum alive to feed it milk.
Oh, my God. If possible, trap possum and feed it on milk and cereal for 10 days before killing.
And remember, while scraping repeatedly, pour cool water over the surface of the animal. Remove the small red glands in the back and under each foreleg. Then parboil and serve with turnip
greens.
So
this is a stinky critter right here. This is something where it's all about getting the funk out of the thing.
If you really want to eat good, Mike.
Serve with turnip greens.
Bear. You know, we all have had
bear. I've had bear.
Remove all fat from the bear meat at once as it turns rancid very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you marinate it for at least 24 hours in an oil-based marinade,
I've had bear for dinner, and he said, hey, what's up, baby? Sorry, that's an old radio reference to our engineer Bear.
You would cook, Mike, after you marinate it for 2 days, you cook it just like pot roast.
Yum, yum, in my tum. What year was this? Did this come out in the 60s?
This is a 1964 edition, yeah.
Wow.
For raccoon, you just need to skin clean and soak overnight in salt water. I guess that draws out some of the moisture.
Muskrat, skin and remove all fat from hams.
The hams of the poach.
What's a ham? What is the ham? Is that the hamstrings?
Probably. I don't know. Right. Okay. Woodchucks are dressed like rabbits, Mike, if you ever want to kill a woodchuck. Beaver, Mike. How are you on eating beaver?
I've eaten some beaver.
Sure.
You couldn't help yourself, could you?
Did you have to feed it milk for 10 days?
Yes, I did.
And
beaver,
cereal.
Use only young animals because beaver will get tough.
All right.
Remove, this is so disgusting. Remove kernels in small of back and under forelegs between rib and shoulder. Hang in the cold for several days.
Rob, let me just stop you for a second.
Okay,
all right?
Stop me.
Because there, I am sure, is a segment of the listening audience that are hunters. And for people that hunt, this is probably not as completely off
Mike,
the wall
possum,
as your delicate sensibilities would think.
But a possum. Come on.
There are people that hunt squirrel and clean and hunt rabbits. It still very much happens today. People, you know, people do that. How do you think your nice tenderloins
can't listen to podcasts?
Because they're out in the wilderness.
Mike, I want to tell you how to cook beaver tail.
How do you cook? You mean the tail of the beaver?
Yeah, that big leathery thing.
Now I'm listening. Yes, go ahead.
Hold over open flame until rough skin blisters.
Then what do you do?
You remove from heat, and when cool, you peel it and you roast over coals or simmer until tender.
So the outer layer, the leather of the beaver tail.
Yes.
I'd try beaver tail. I would in a minute try beer. I bet it tastes, like chicken.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. It tastes like chicken that's been shoved under a car for 10 days.
No, beaver would be probably have a piney taste to it.
Wild boar. If it's young, just prepare it like a suckling pig.
There it is. It's a pig.
See page 407.
It's a pig, a suckling pig.
Anyway, Mike, so if you want to, you know, prepare possum or woodchuck or anything like that, or step on the tail to remove the skin, call me. I've got all the info right here.
When I was on the air back in Hartford, Connecticut, that was my, it was poo-pooed by one of my program directors. But for about a month, I used the name Suckling the DJ. He didn't approve. Suckling the DJ.
I wish you still had the jingle.
I'm going to come back.
Oh, no.
No, I'm
going to
wait
till
tomorrow.
Are you?
I'm going to come back tomorrow and talk about it.
All right, music
because we don't have enough time to.
We should do something just brief.
New showtime tomorrow for those that watch live.
Yeah, we're taping tomorrow afternoon, 3 p.m. showtime taping. We'll talk about Landman, the finale of Landman, which Josh and I watched, and I believe Rob did too. When we come back, you, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. I got it right here. Carla put it in the studio. Let me get all my dishes out of the way.
It sounds like...
No, those are mugs. Those are
campfire
mugs.
Yeah.
These are the laundry sauce dryer sheets.
Oh, the dryer sheets.
Now, when I'm talking about the laundry ritual being a drag, it is for most people. Our next sponsor has made the ritual of laundry so much better, and they've done it because of the wonderful scents that they put in their products. Laundry Sauce created the world's best-smelling laundry detergent. They also have dryer sheets. Got them right here. Look at that. Boy, they're so powerful, too.
They're great.
They have transformed doing laundry into a luxurious and exciting experience. So, what's the secret sauce behind Laundry Sauce? They got together with a fragrance house, one of the biggest in the world. Same team behind many of your favorite designer scents. From Australian sandalwood to Egyptian rose to Siberian pine, Laundry Day will never smell the same. The reviews are great. J-A-Y-E said, if this laundry soap was food, it could only be described as delicious. Plus, if you aren't happy, send back your laundry sauce for a full refund. No questions asked. Now is the time to elevate your laundry ritual with Laundry Sauce. Head to laundrysauce.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS at checkout for 15% off. That's the best offer you will find. 15% off your order. One last time, laundrysauce.com/TMOS, promo code TMOS. For 15% off. Our favorite new TV show, and you can catch up now because all the episodes are streaming if you want on Paramount Plus. There's a plug that I didn't get paid to do.
Do they also serve any sort of fried thing made of like apples or cherries or anything? Like
just Beaver Tail. Exclusively Beaver Tail.
Delicious. Well, wait till it blisters.
Billy Bob Thornton vehicle called Landman is... pretty close to my favorite thing on TV now. It really, really rocks. I have a positive and a negative. The positive, we were talking about it before the show. There is a cameo from Jerry Jones that is so cool,
yeah,
so well done, and so real that I think you'll really get a kick out of it. Here's the negative. I simply can't wrap my head around the goofy, playful daughter and mother flitting around in nursing homes and doing, I don't know. It seems to me that that is just a tad contrived to throw into
like
the plot.
It's added, it's added fluff for the, because the rest of the show is so impactful and so heavy that there's this light side that I don't care about that storyline. Like,
well,
I
they're the playing
others.
Banana ball. They're giving something for everybody. Is what
it's
they're
not,
doing. Yeah,
doesn't appeal to me. Don't besmirch banana ball.
I'm just using it in a broad stream, a broad
I just
stroke
don't,
of sorts.
And you know, they're attractive, but that is that goes
the
only
old
so
people f- or
the hottie and I, you know, with her the ass
the
cheeks
finale,
of her quarterback
the
lover.
Yes.
And the fact that they let the quarterback go up and bang her in the house. I mean, it's just, it's gross. It is. And as a father, I don't like watching that. As a father of two daughters, I don't. If I sound like an old fart, I'm an old fart. But it bugs me. But it doesn't take away from really one of the best actors of our day. That's Billy Bob Thornton being Billy Bob. And, you know, it's just, I don't know if they get blowback on that plot line at all, where the promiscuous daughter is encouraged to be promiscuous by the wife.
There is some blowback about, because they're showing her as a 17-year-old.
Yes.
And sexualizing a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It sounds to me, Mike, more like Gland Man. Am I right?
Jesus. Did you watch the whole
series?
I
haven't seen the last episode yet. I've watched all but the last episode.
It's most frustrating that it's over, because I think it is was my best show for the past few weeks.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
But not,
I told
because
Carrie,
of the aforementioned plot, not the perfect show. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I told Carrie that when when Billy Bob argues with his wife, Allie Larder, or his ex-wife or his current wife, I forget where it stands, I could watch an hour of that, just those two arguing. It is so well-written and real.
It's well-written, but getting back to the one knock I have on it, if they made that relationship a little more credible outside of, look, I don't want to overanalyze a TV show because it's just a TV show. Mm-hmm. But when I'm all in, I scrutinize. And yeah, for me, that plot thread lacks credibility, because if Billy Bob was in fact this blood and guts landman who would kill somebody who's doing, they wouldn't be doing that in the house, and he would probably. I just think that they're. And
I this like is it because it shows his duality.
But Allie Larder, there should be. She's too much of a cartoon character, and I think they ought to give her character more depth. I think if they gave that, they flirted with it for a little bit, but I think they could give her character and the whole plot line more depth.
I think it's why we're interactions of Billy Bob with the lawyer and with Demi Moore's character as well.
Yes.
Because they're more real women.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, it's a great show. So check out Landman if you haven't had an opportunity. We're going to take our last break of the show. And when we come back, we have beautiful Vardio.
It is beautiful, Mike. It's gorgeous.
I can't wait. I am looking forward to it. And don't forget, we got the mugs. We got the loud cups. Keep on keeping on. And if you want, I will indeed. There you go. You ask for it, you love it.
That piece of paper in the mug, doesn't that certify that it's a licked mug?
No, it certifies that I have a list of the people that have purchased mugs. Oh, that's how I
was just having fun.
Moving on to another product, ladies and gentlemen. I'm almost out of my liquid IV in my red Solo cup here. It's not a red Solo cup. It's a Pizza Hut cup. A new year means new resolution, so whatever you do, do it your own way with extraordinary hydration from Liquid IV. Powered by Live. And Josh, when I say that, am I supposed to say LIV Hydroscience or Live Hydroscience? Or Rob, what am I supposed to say?
It's Live. Okay. It's Live Hydroscience. Yes.
Live Hydroscience. Liquid IV helps you break the mold with flavors like their new Hydration Multiplier Sugar-Free Raspberry Lemonade. It's a bright sugar-flavored, sugar-free flavor combining notes of ripe, freshly picked. Now, let me just see. It says of ripe, freshly picked raspberries, and it's citrusy, zesty lemon. It's flippin' amazing. I just want to go back and say a bright zero sugar flavor. So that doesn't have any sugar in it, which is great.
Not at all. Yeah.
You know that I love Liquid IV. You see me drink it every day. I'm drinking my favorite peach today out of my Pizza Hut cup. It's the best. Keeps me going whether you get regular or sugar-free. You can choose from about a million flavors. They're all great. Three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. Eight essential vitamins and nutrients, and always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free. Think you don't need it? The dry air of winter will dehydrate you before you know it. In Liquid IV to the rescue. I'll see you at the roller rink. Thank you, Liquid IV.
Isn't there something about you skating even better?
What does it say? Hold on a second. Now I can roller skate like a champ.
I forgot to read that part. Because the rink part really didn't make
any
sense. All right,
just a lot of words. Tear poor, live more. Liquid IV. They're great. You'll love them.
Hey, I like that.
Use the code
20%. Video.
Yep.
Cherry time.
The super hit sound of 77.
It's the hotline of hits, Mike.
ABC with the hotline of hits.
So I start with the game for you and Josh.
Okay.
I have found a site that has generated what I think sounds like a hit country record using total AI. There's no human voice on it. There are no real instruments on it. It's totally generated by AI. And then I have a real country song with singers and players. And I want you to determine which is which. And to make sure that we are totally random, I'll give you the titles. You tell me which one you want to hear first, okay?
Okay. Right.
Drunk on Dreamin' or More Country Than Me.
More Country Than Me.
All right. Is this real or is this AI?
I ain't got no cows.
That's AI.
I don't ride.
You don't even want to hear the other one?
Nope. I want to hear the other one, but I think that's AI.
I never lived in Nashville,
Tennessee. All right, Mike, here is Drunk on Dreamin'. And Josh, you're free to guess too.
Ain't like I'm a fiend for whiskey, but it's working like a charm.
Stand by my prediction.
That's
my
AI.
Josh?
Yep.
AI is the first one.
Yeah, we both got it right. I did not get it right. I did not get it right.
And you know what also? It's the nuance of the vocal in the second one that tells me that's a real guy singing.
I thought that AI would be much more...
What's that?
I thought that the dialect of the second one, and listen again, it sounds almost like an impression of a country singer.
Ain't like I'm a fiend for whiskey, but it's working like a charm.
Doesn't that sound like over-the-top country singer? No,
it sounds no, over-the-top, but it's, yeah, the range. And then the, you don't get a lot of that with AI. I was playing with AI yesterday on a sound effects website that I'm on, and it was it's different. I mean, you really just... You know, it's hard to point out exactly how you know, but you know that it's
and
it's
even
generated.
When it gets close, it's kind of like the thing I used to have with wax museum figures. They're exactly right, but just when they're a little off, that's when they're horrifying. It's
there's that word again. Everything horrifies you today. Which is more horrifying, a wax museum or skinning a squirrel?
This question is horrifying to me.
Just imagine if there was a wax display of a man.
Yes, and a wax squirrel. Mike, there is a tremendous conspiracy floating around the internet. Why are they poisoning our water with glycol? Why are they putting antifreeze in our water? Watch with this guy. This is stone cold proof.
I've been keeping my water on the porch. I'm just proof that it was here when it snowed. It's been out here for 3 days. The best way I know
how. So he picks up a bottle. Still liquid.
My water in my house is frozen, but this water is not. Are they putting glycol in our water?
He's asking if they're...
Well, there's a way you do it. You put it in your freezer to confirm that, Dr. Dumbass.
Actually, the problem, Mike, is that the water is not contaminated and, in fact, is too pure. University scientists have said if there is no sort of impurity or default or any sort of fragment of anything in the water, there's nothing to start the freezing. But have you ever gone through the experience?
No. That doesn't make any sense.
No. It does.
No, because you can take that same water bottle, put it in your freezer, and it'll freeze.
What if, Mike?
That water, if it's pure, does not
have
freeze.
Have you ever opened a bottle of water or anything that freezes after you open it? It's liquid until that you introduce air into there. You've never done that?
What? There's air in that bottle.
Yeah, but it's sealed air. There's no impurities for the frost to grab onto. That water is cold, but the fact
that... We need to get a scientist in here.
But if I put that water bottle in the freezer, it turns into a block of ice.
But also, don't you think the freezer is colder than it is outside? He's probably not at minus 5.
That's not your point. Your point is that you're agreeing with the guy that, you know, or you're explaining why it might not freeze. I don't know is the answer. Are you 100%? Do you stand by this pure water doesn't freeze?
I'm not saying that all pure water will not freeze. I'm saying
you're
that's
pretty definitive about it when you said it the first time.
That's the issue with this situation is that there's no way for the freezing to start because it's in this. It
so
technically lowers
by your
the
theory,
freezing point.
If you put a water bottle like that in the freezer, it would not freeze.
Depends on the temperature. All I'm saying is that it lowers.
Hold on a second. It was free. If it's freezing,
okay,
it will freeze.
According to Google, pure water can technically stay liquid below a normal freezing point.
So the answer is
it
can
lowers
stay.
It lowers the freezing point.
Oh, so it's so it's a it takes a colder temperature, as Rob said, to freeze pure water.
Right.
Is that true?
Pure water freezes at 0 degrees, not 32 degrees.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. So that's true.
And cause you've never opened a bottle. That's
your magna cum laude coming through, and thank you for that. You were right.
But it's pretty cool. But I have opened stuff that has crystallized the minute I've opened it. Sometimes even in my fridge because, you know, the back of your fridge can be like 30 degrees.
So. But I didn't know that. So this guy's saying they're putting, glycol in it or something?
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's what's going on with this guy.
No, there's other
this
issues
guy,
here.
The sun's been out all day.
Yeah,
and
it's 48
still
degrees.
Above 30 degrees.
Exactly. 48 degrees.
Because he's sitting. Play it again. Okay. Just since we spent more time on this than we should have, but play it again. Because it does appear to be like a little warmer when he checks it out. All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to start it from the front. I cut it off. Here we go.
Also, there's about a quarter of an inch of snow on his porch. It's not that much.
But there is snow on the water bottles.
Yeah. All right.
He's also been out there for 3 days.
You know, it's just, it's so American. Isn't it?
Yes.
Putin. Are they, are the stupid green man putting glycol in our water?
Do you think that the, do you,
I'm so tired of that. I'm really, when did everything go to crap as far as facts? When did it all go out the window where everybody, regardless of breadth of knowledge, and it's just nuts.
2008.
It was COVID. It was when there was one.
No, it wasn't COVID.
That's when it got. That's when COVID all this other stuff
COVID's
came out.
COVID's when it got dumber. COVID's when it got.
Yes, it got. Even, that's what I mean. It got dumber.
Yeah. But it's, boy, it kills me when I see. This will catch fire, right? Won't this catch fire on social media?
Well, it was for a few days catching fire. I think it's sort of going down now that people have explained what happened. But I know that COVID can lower the freezing temperature of your brain.
COVID with that. Oh, my God. It's a strange world we live in. You know what? Josh, we need to go to the Savannah Bananas and just forget all this this conspiracy garbage.
They'll explain it. They'll explain it. Fans first. No frozen water. Mike, let's close with this. Let's say you're in the outskirts of Chicago. Humboldt is the name of the area.
Okay.
And you go to your local grocer, the Aldi. why are you laughing?
Because Aldi, you know, I have thoughts. I've spent enough bitching on this show. I don't need to talk about
it. Is it horrifying?
Aldi.
Are your thoughts on Aldi horrifying?
I've never been. I've just heard about it. I got one. I could walk to one from here.
Just make sure you take a quarter.
Yeah, need it for the shopping cart.
That's, I really Josh hate is the it. One. Josh is the one that was talking about Aldi, right?
Yeah.
And you're not an Aldi fan, right?
No, it's got all the weird stuff like Peanut Butter World peanut butter.
Yeah.
That's
And Mike,
I knew it was something.
See, if you walk into an Aldi, even in a bustling metropolis, it feels like you've gone into the one grocery store in a beach town. Does that make sense to you?
Two people in the aisle.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay, so they're in the Aldi, and there's an animal that gets in. And I won't spoil it for you.
Judy, no injuries reported in this incident, either to the coyote, to witnesses, or animal care and control officials. But obviously, a
the
big
coyote
surprise
was not
for
injured,
shoppers
Mike.
This morning. It was around 9:45 a.m. at the
Watch
Aldi
this.
Store
He's in the
at 800 North Kedzie and Humboldt Park that animal care and control and Chicago police removed the coyote safely.
Well,
this video viewed
control,
millions
right?
of times yeah. on social
that's
media.
Control,
a witness
so
telling us
job.
She saw the animal roaming the parking lot minutes earlier. Somehow that coyote ended up inside the store.
He got
section.
In Officials and like nested in the dairy case.
Wow.
And I had to pull it out.
Wow. That's a. How about that animal control dude, though, right? I
he
mean,
knew what he was doing.
He's doing his job. That's a good thing. I
and
like
he
that.
Also, when he was in the frozen food area, he wondered why the water wasn't frozen.
I knew you were going to do a callback. I knew it.
Oh, you wanted
callbacks are automatic on the Mike O'Mara show.
I can give you
gentlemen.
One more if you like. We can do one other different one. Is that the reason Let's that the coyote it. Got in? Sail on Roadrunner.
Sail on Roadrunner. So, did I tell you that when I was out in Cabo? I saw my very first real Roadrunner, and I swear to God, it yes, the cartoon is exaggerated, but I knew when it ran across my path that it was a Roadrunner.
I saw one in Utah, same thing.
In Utah, same
it's
area.
About, it's about that big.
Yep, it's a large bird, but they run just like meep meep, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
When I used to work in D.C., we had rats.
Thanks for sharing.
Wow.
Hey, we want to thank Tyler Gillum of the Savannah Bananas, the head coach. They've revolutionized sports entertainment, and they're really a fun deal. And to catch them in Savannah or when they come to a major league ballpark in your town, check them out. The Savannah Bananas, new season 2025. They're at spring training right now, but they'll be starting their touring.
I just found out Baltimore tickets have not gone on sale yet, so go get on the wait list.
Get on the wait list for that, and we'll post something. Maybe we can do a link where you can get your bananas.
I don't know.
List.
I just saw a guy do a backflip and catch that ball.
That ain't right. we'll see you tomorrow with a brand new episode for Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Aloha.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The power of Christ compels you! Hey, everybody, this is Reba McEntire. Happy Halloween.